Blog Talk Radio.
You're locked in to the hottest station on the planet.
Family and friends, I am so sorry. I'm having technical difficulty on my side. Can you guys please give me one moment so I can get it together? Ms. Diane, I know you're on. I can see that you're on. Please give me one moment so I can get this straightened out. I'm having technical difficulties. It's not playing anything else on my side. Hold on one second, Ms. Diane.
You're locked in to the hottest station on the planet.
What's good, radio family? TPV Radio Network has an all-star lineup just for you. Just pick your flavor, starting with The Psalmist Voice Reloaded every Sunday at 2 p.m., Wednesdays and Fridays at 11 a.m. The Psalmist Voice Presents, which is a showcase for all artists, business, and entrepreneurs by appointment only. The Caribbean Pepper Pot is back every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. The Love Potion every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Also, we have our new show every Monday at 12 noon. It's The Grub and the return of The Williams Review every Monday at 6 p.m. and Saturday at 1 p.m. Also, Men Let's Talk, to be announced. TPV Radio is also broadcasting on KBRG, The Bridge. Just download 365 Live, search KBRG, The Bridge, and you're in there. Walk with us. Let's go. At Majal's Products, we care for a better you with our handmade natural ingredients to give you healthier skin, body, and stronger hair. Like our face, foot, hair, and body care products. To order yours today, please visit our website at www.majalsproducts.com or on Facebook at Majal's Products. Get yours today and get your faster results without breaking the bank.
Good afternoon, family and friends. You are tuned in to The Grub on your lunch hour. That's right. Serve up, family and friends. We have a delicious menu for you guys today. I am Nice, your host, and my co-host is here with me today, Ms. Diane. Ms. Diane, good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. How are you?
I am blessed, but the devil is a liar this afternoon. I couldn't connect to nothing.
I see that. I see that. I was like, wait a minute. I know everything is supposed to be in order and nothing was going right.
Nope. The devil just trying to knock us out today, but you know, God is he's a great person that we serve. So, you know,
we're
gonna keep it going and just give it out to him and get this menu started today, family. So, you know, we're going to break it down and shake it up for you guys on this lunch hour. We're going to fill you spiritually with what we have to share today, you know. So just to start away, we're going to have Ms. Diane open up with a prayer. Ms. Diane?
Yes, ma'am. Father God, we thank you for today. We bless your name. We give you praise, glory, and the honor. We thank you that we are here. Let us have ears to hear and eyes to see. Bless the word, God, as it comes forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, amen, amen. So let's get into the menu. Of course, we're going to start off with your salad. Whether you want it to be a Caesar chicken salad, just a regular salad, however you want your salad, we're just going to give you a salad. And our salad is coming from Proverbs 19, when I need to forgive. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. It goes a little bit something like this for family and friends. Lord, I worship you for who you are. I praise you, my precious and loving God of forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving me. Where would I be without you setting me free from the consequences of my own sin? Lord, I surrender to you everything that is in my heart. I want to be a forgiven person, so I will always be forgiven. Matthew 6:14-15, family and friends. Take away anything in me that separates me from you and hinders my knowing you better. Pour out your spirit upon me in a fresh new way and reveal anyone or anything that I have not forgiven. Shine your light into the corners of my heart and reveal anything that is not of you. Family and friends, we ask for forgiveness today, and we want to forgive. So, Ms. Diane, I'm going to let you put your spin on it.
I want to say, because before we got on the show, I was sitting here and I was thinking about that, something in regards to that. And it is so funny because the Bible speaks about sanctification and when he talks about sanctification, sanctification is to be set apart for a specific purpose. And if we say we are sanctified, and the Lord told us in Proverbs to sanctify ourselves in him and for him, that tells us everything that is of God is to be in our heart. That means our heart are supposed to be filled with love, joy, peace, forgiveness, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness. Everything that's God is supposed to be in us, and everything that is not of him, anger, hatred, bitterness, malice, jealousy, envy, unforgiveness, none of that should be a part of our lives. And it is so sad how we, a lot of us say, because God had to really do a work on me when it came to forgiveness. I had to call people who hurt me, and I had to tell them I forgive them. You know, it's not me hurting them, but I had to call them and repent and tell them I forgive them, because the Bible lets us know if we don't forgive the one who offends us, we can't go to God and ask God for forgiveness, and we're holding people in our hearts. And it's so sad to say, and it's so sad to see every Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, you go into the churches and you see people who are mean, who are cynical, who are bitter, who are angry. And all of that is just a sign of there is no forgiveness. We talk a good talk. That's why the Bible tells us man looks on the outward, but God looks at our heart. So we can tell people we forgive you. And we can say, oh, yes, I'm walking in forgiveness. I'm walking in forgiveness. But the truth of the matter is, when you pay attention to somebody's actions and whatnot, you can tell if there's true forgiveness or not. Because I learned, if I tell you I forgive you, this, because I never could understand that. I thought when I forgive somebody, I thought I had to, because there's a difference between liking and loving somebody. So I remember trying to forgive people and trying to like them. And I had to learn, no, you don't have to like nobody. The Bible never told us to like anybody. He said we're supposed to love one another. So I was trying to like people. And I'm trying to like people that I don't like. And then I had to understand, oh, okay, so that means I can forgive you. And I can forgive you, and I can stay 50 feet away from you. I can forgive you. We never have to go to the movies. We never have to eat. But I had the wrong impression of forgiveness, and I think there are still a lot of people out there who think that way when it comes to forgiving because of hurt and whatever it may be. I forgive you, so that means now we got to be friends. We got to hang out. No. I can forgive you. You can be here in Texas, and you can live in an entire other state, and I can forgive you way over there, and we ain't never got to talk to each other.
Yeah, but a lot of people, too, don't know the difference of forgiveness, because you can you can forgive somebody. But what is the true meaning of forgive? You know, you can say, yeah, I forgive you. But when you forgive somebody, you have to forgive them from your heart. You have to put your whole heart into it and forgive them. You know, if we're supposed to be people here on earth that live in Christ-like, we have to forgive with a pure and true heart. You know, not just saying, hey, you know, I forgive you for this, I forgive you for that. It doesn't work that way, family and friends. When you forgive, especially we as Christians, you know, when we forgive, you have to have a pure heart of forgiveness. You can't just tell that person, I forgive you, because we have a saying that mouth say anything, but it's true from the heart. Are you forgiving this person true from the heart? So it's a big, it's a big difference when you're forgiven. So you got to know where this forgiveness is coming from. If it's just something that your mouth is saying, is it something true from the heart? Because like you said, you know, a lot of people don't understand what's forgiveness. A lot of people say they're Christian, but still don't know how to forgive. And even to that, they know every scripture in that Bible, every verse. But still don't know the true meaning of forgiveness. So family and friends, when you forgive, you have to forgive from the heart. You have to have a pure heart to forgive. And when you forgive, it has to be meaningful that you're going to forgive and let it go. Let it go.
Let
not bring it up for, bring it up 2-3 months down the road, or you forgive them just because you, at the time, it seems like it was the right thing to do. It doesn't work that way, family and friends. It really and truly doesn't. So, Ms. Diane, we're going to get into the role.
Let me piggyback on that for 1 second. Let me just say something about that
for one second,
because I didn't know that one, too. When you can tell, no one has to tell you if you forgive somebody or not, because when you say you forgive somebody and whatever they did to you, when it come back to your mind, if you get mad all over again, that's a sign you have not totally released and forgiven. So if you say, I forgive this person and I forgive that person, and every time somebody says, oh, Diane, and you get mad, sorry to tell you, but there is no forgiveness. There's no forgiveness.
Yeah. Mouth say anything. It goes back to that. Mouth say anything. Because if you could bring
anything.
It up again, you haven't let it go. Your mouth just saying so. Or, like I said, it could be that at that moment, it seems like the right thing to do. When you forgive, you leave it in the past and you move forward. You move forward.
Absolutely.
You leave it alone. Move forward. You have to know how to forgive with a pure heart. You have to know that, hey, I'm forgiving you, and it's done with. It's done. Whatever it is, it's done. So, Ms. Diane, we're going to go into the roles of today. The roles is up now. Luke 4:18. It goes a little something like this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recover of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed and broken down by calamity. God, good intentions are not acts of obedience. The procrastination devours opportunities to live a purposeful life. Whatever God has inspired you to do, do it today. Just do what needs to be done, even if the first thing you tackle is the dishes in the kitchen sink or the garbage that needs cleaning. If God has specifically told you to bless someone and you have intended to do it, remember that now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. You can also follow up with that on 2 Corinthians 6:2. Family, so we acting now. If that spirit, if that voice of God tell you, hey, bless somebody, you need to do this now, you act on it now. But you also have to listen to that voice too, because the devil will talk to you as well. And at that moment,
sure
it could sound sweet, but you will know the difference when the devil is talking and when God is talking. You know, so you have to know, because when God talks, mountains will be moved. And we as human beings should know the intention of it, if it's something good or something bad. You know, I've learned from Brother Siron, he just telling somebody good morning. Asking them how you doing today. That in itself is a blessing, because we don't know what we go through or what other people go through every day. And just by telling them that simple thing, it makes their day. It makes the day. Like, for example, I had one day we walk into the Walmart, and my now 3-year-old, she's very friendly. And she saw this lady in Walmart, and she like, hi, and she went up and she hugged her. The lady turned and said, oh my gosh, do you know how much I needed that today?
Oh, wow.
this is not something that I tell my daughter, go hug that, or, you know, she's friendly, so she tell everybody, hi. But she walked up to this lady, and she hugged her. And the lady picked her up and hugged her. And she said, do you know how much I needed that today? So we never know what people is going through. This woman could have probably been thinking about killing herself that day. But
yeah,
just to show the appreciation,
yeah,
even though it's a small body that gave her a hug, could have made her change her mind that day and see the purpose of her living the life that she's living. You know, we also have to look at the negative things that's going through our life and see the positive. Like I always say, God pick us up when we are in the dump. When we are at our lowest, he pick us up. Mm-hmm. So you have to act now. Act now on the positive things in your life. Find the positive things in the negative that you're going through in life. Because to the end of the day, there will be a light. You might not see that light today. You might not see that light tomorrow. But you have to put your faith in God and believe in him. Believe in him.
Wow.
You have to send that prayer up to him and leave it, because one thing we need to remember, family and friends, God is always an on-time God. It's
always
not when we want, but is when we need it the most.
Always.
He would show up. He would give you that sign. So the simplest thing, you have to act now on it. Miss Diane, I'm going to let you put your twist.
Yes, ma'am. That, wow, that just with the baby doing that, that was just so touching to me. And because while you were talking and you said that, I thought about, I was like, what if she said to God, okay, God, you know what, I'm tired, I'm done. If you don't show me today that you're real, if you don't show me today that you love me, then this is it. And God just happened to use your baby to be the conduit to show her that he is there with her and that he does love her. And that is so very true. You know, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, like he says, we do things that other people doesn't really understand. What we do, people might look at it and say, oh, that's so dumb, that's so stupid. Because somebody would look at that baby and they say, yeah, and they could have looked at you and say, look at that. She's just letting her baby hug anybody in a day and time like this. But this was an ordained time and an ordained place. And God knew exactly when, where, how, and why. You know what I'm saying? You guys would be there at the same time, because she just said hi to everybody else. But when the Spirit of the Lord moved on her, it caused her to move and give her a hug. And she said she needed that. So sometimes we may not realize how badly somebody else needs something. And if we don't have the anointing of the Lord, if the Spirit of the Lord doesn't rest on us, we don't know what to do. And sometimes we do stuff and we do it at the wrong time. So we got to have, and even in this, we got to have wisdom, because Jesus is saying the Spirit of the Lord is on him, the anointing is on him, and it, I call him to do a specific gift, to heal the brokenhearted, to bind up the heart, and to bring sight to the blind. So when people see we do certain things, they don't understand. Just to heal the brokenhearted, she could have been one with the broken heart. And that simple little hug from a three-year-old made her feel better, put a smile on her face, walked outside and probably said, Lord, I thank you. Because I remember when I first started losing my sight, and I could not go outside without sunglasses. And I remember the first time I went out there without sunglasses, I was like, oh, God, I so thank you. And as I made comments to the Lord, I said, Lord, how many people take just walking outside for granted? Do you know how many people hear a bird sing and take it for granted? Do you know how many people can see flowers and take it for granted? If you ask a blind person about, they don't know what it's like. A deaf person can't hear the bird sing. And the Spirit of the Lord, it has to move us in a place where we can say, you know what, God, I thank you, because now I understand. Even though it don't make sense, you know, in certain ways, I understand how you move. And when the Spirit of the Lord moves, it's always, always And if he uses us, you know, it's never for us. It's always for somebody else. So it's a good thing to have a good heart. And it goes back to Luke. You know, if you don't have any unforgiveness in your heart and your heart is all cluttered up and there's no love in your heart, the Spirit of the Lord can't rest on you to bring you to the place where you can be a blessing to somebody else.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's like we have to remember that we was all born innocent. You know, we was all born innocent. And with kids, they're the most innocent because they're still learning.
Mm-hmm.
They're still learning wrong from right. They're still, you know, they don't really understand, you know. And God sends miracles to us in the smallest of things. He sends blessings
yes,
to us
does.
In the smallest of ways. And, you know, we have to understand. But like I said, it goes back to whatever that Spirit is telling you, that Holy Spirit is telling you, you know, you have to act now. You know, you have to act now. Sometimes we don't act now and we miss out on our blessings. We miss out on what God is telling us to do to receive our blessings. And
absolutely.
People don't understand that, you know, we put it, okay, we could do it later, we could do it later, we could do it later.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually is missing out on our blessings that's supposed to take place now. You know.
And we mess up other people. We mess them up because we're not obedient to move when we're supposed to move. So when we don't move somebody else, we're not the only ones suffering. Somebody else has suffered too.
Yeah, because our blessings could be to bless us to bless someone else.
Absolutely.
To bless us to bless someone else. So, you know, I mean, family and friends, when the Holy Spirit talk, move on it. Move on it.
Move.
You know, so we're going to go in. Today we're serving seasoned rice, Ms. Diane. We have our seasoned rice. Yes, we're doing some seasoned rice. So our seasoned rice of the day is embracing life. And it's coming from Deuteronomy 30, 19 to 20. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. And I go in to say the choice should be easy. Choosing life should be obvious to one who is living and who cares about things of faith. But I can look back on my recent days and see where I have chosen things that do not enrich or enliven life. I take power from people with my negativity. I distance my heart from you when I refuse to give myself over to your grace. Lord, I want to embrace life and everything that breathes air into the lungs of my existence. You are the source of all that lives. May I draw close to your voice, your face, and your ways so that I can bring my marriage a sense of purpose and meaning. And some of my friends, this doesn't just go for marriage. This goes for every and anything in life. You know, we have to choose. And sometimes when we choose, and we choose negative or we speak negative, we distance ourselves, our heart, our soul from God. We distance ourselves from his grace. You know, so we have to embrace the life that we live. Live the life that you live. But if you said you're a Christian, live like Christ-like. Live with Christ within you. We have to do that so we could be closer to God. You want to do, yes, we're going to make mistakes. That's why we repent. When we make our mistakes, we repent. But you don't repent to make the same mistake because then that's a choice you make. Because if you know that you're making the same mistakes over and over and over, and then you ask God for forgiveness, how are you embracing life in the positive? How are you doing that? You know, it's all negative because you're not doing and you're not listening to God's voice. You're doing what you want to do. You're doing what the devil is asking you to do, because that's what he celebrates on. But is the devil, when we do negative or we do things to harm ourselves and stuff like that, this is what the devil wants. This is what he wants. So, you know, that's how he embraced his life. That's how the devil embraced his life. You know, but when we live like God, we give our faith, we believe in him to receive his grace, to receive his mercy, to be for God. I mean, there's no better father that we could ever have. Nope. The devil is like an uncle that nobody wants to be around. That uncle that probably drink on drugs, always have negative something to say, you know. That's the uncle that we don't want to be around. So you want to be with the Father because he is your protector. He is your everything. He's the one that makes everything possible. So, I mean, why not embrace life in the positive instead of the negative? Why not enrich your life for God? You know, so, I mean, Miss Diane, I gonna let you take it over. I'm going to let you take it over, Ms. Diane.
When I was going through the scriptures and stuff, I was like, oh, my gosh, this verse is so jam-packed from 19 and stuff. It is just so jam-packed because we serve a really, really good God. And he in the verse above, he is telling us, you know, he's placed before us blessing and curses, life and death. And then just so he makes sure we will make the right choice, he said, choose life. Don't choose the curse. Don't choose, you know what I'm saying? But choose life. And so many, and the Bible tells us that Jesus came that we may have life and have it life in abundance. And so many of us, we have no life. And when I say we have no life, I'm not meaning like we're not breathing. We're breathing, but we have no life. We have nothing to give, or we choose not to give. There are some people who just want to blame everybody. There are just some people who think the world or somebody owes them something. There are some people who just like, man, I've just been through enough. This is it. And I have a son, and I have to tell that to my son. I said, don't nobody owe you nothing. Not even my job as your mother, I was supposed to carry you 9 months and give birth to you. And the day I give birth to you, however your life went, we have to, you know what I'm saying? You have to take responsibility for some of the choices that we make. But some people, they don't want to do that. And when you don't take choices for the mistakes and the errors that you make, you remain stuck. And then we see people moving along, and people have life, and people getting married, and people having babies, and people are laughing and everything, and then they're stuck in a corner somewhere, and then all of a sudden you hate people, or they think they're all that, and this, that, and the other. No, the Bible tells us to choose life. So that's all we did. We choose life. That's why we have joy.
Yep.
That's why we have peace. That's why we have a sound mind. You know, it doesn't always come like that. But as long as you choose life, things are always going to work out, because God is always, like you said, in the positive. You will never find God anywhere negativity is. That's why he is a light. And he said there is no darkness in him. Because when do people do the most ugly stuff, the most negative stuff? In the darkness. When you can't see them, all the negative stuff, it's in the darkness. But when you come into the light, light will show you some things. The light will illuminate some things to you and tell you this is right, this is wrong. You need to get rid of this. You need to get rid of that. This person, not that one. You know what I'm saying? And when we do that, like you said, when we follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, we're choosing life and we're making life better. And rather than complaining and being mad at other people, at their success, at what they're doing, all we have to do is what the Bible tells us to do, choose life. Lord, Today I choose you. I know it's not going to be an easy road. I'm pretty sure there are going to be some bumps and bruises. I'm pretty sure I may get knocked down, even knocked out on the way. But guess what? I do believe if I follow you, even if I do get knocked down, you're God enough to pick me up, and I will still
choose
life. I will still not give up on life. We hear people committing suicide. And back in the day, I thought if you had money and if you had fame and you were popular and stuff like that, I just thought life was peaches and cream. But as I got older, I come to realize that's not true. You have celebrities taking their lives. You have millionaires taking their lives. You have people who have billions of dollars. They can't even lay their head down to sleep at night because money does not mean you have life. Because some people sold their souls to have the money that they have, to have the life that they have, to have the material things that they have. But when we come to Christ and we choose Christ for Christ, we say, God, we don't want anything else. We want you. We want your love. We want your peace. Everything that's God, that's what we want. Then he give us everything else. Because Matthew 6:20-33 tells us, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And he said, well, after you chose that, all the other things will add to you. So when you choose God, you choose life. You choose the best part. And then he bless you with everything.
Oh, yeah.
So we ought not to run after things, but run after the giver of life, the one that tells us to choose life. When we choose him, then we're choosing life.
Oh, yeah. You know, and who doesn't want that good life that God give us? You know what I mean? Like going back to what you say with these celebrities and people that was born into the inheritance and stuff. You know, we people looking outside is like, yeah, I would like to have that life. Yeah, what? They living good, they living this. But we don't know what problems they have behind of it. Because like
Thank
they said,
you.
Money is the root of all evil. With money, you could commit any crime and get away
Anything.
With it with a right price.
Yep.
And what people need to understand is, like, you know, you could buy yourself out of things that you have done. Because money, it goes back. Money is the root of all evil. But you want to embrace yourself, because what you need to realize too, God will take you out of any situation. You just have to give your all to him. You know, when you give yourself to God, you just don't give your flesh to him, because our flesh do rotten. But what you want to give to God is your mind, your body, your soul.
Yeah.
You want to give yourself to him as a whole.
That's right.
As a whole. You know, he made us in his image. Why not give him back what he has given us? Life. Why not live our life for him, he who has given us life? Without God, nothing is possible.
Nothing
is possible without God. When you have God in your life, then everything become possible.
Amen.
Everything become possible. Man, God would have you move a car without you even knowing that you moved that car till you done move it. The strength that he would give you. God could give you the strength of 1,000 men, and you would not even realize that he have given you the strength. You know, depression, anxiety, these is all things of the devil. Yeah, I do suffer with depression. Yeah, I do suffer with anxiety. But one thing I could say, I refuse to take the medication.
That's right.
I refuse to make, because I know what's causing my anxiety. I know what's causing my depression. I have to give myself more to our Father, to the Messiah. I have to give myself, I have to let everything go. And part of embracing that is letting everything go. Part of forgiveness is letting everything go. The past is there for a reason. We made mistakes. It's our past, but we have to live in that now. We have to act now. We have to live in that now. We have to live in that present, because we have to present our now. We have to present our now. And if you don't know how to present, start reading the Bible. Start reading the Bible. Start doing your Bible study. Start getting to know God's word. Like we talked about last week, the Bible is written from different people, but there was only one author. And it was God's word to the like this. We said last week, the Bible is the truth.
Yep.
Everything that we go through in this life, we could embrace it to be better, because every situation we go through in life, the Bible have an answer for it. The Bible have an answer for it. So we don't matter what you go through, God could work it out for you. He could give you that you need, but not what you want. And you have to be careful, because sometimes we ask and we say, Lord, we need it. But in our back of our mind, it's a want. And sometimes he give it to us, even though he knows it's a want. Because it's a lesson to be taught with it.
Yeah.
And we have to understand that, family and friends. Embrace the good life that you have. Embrace the life that God wants us to have, which is getting to know him, obey him, getting to be obedient to his word, to live Christ-like. So, you know, family and friends, we're going to move into our stew. Beans. We haven't read beans.
Ooh,
we haven't read beans today, family and friends. We serving a Cruzan dish today, Miss Diane.
All right.
And
VI all the way. VI all the way.
Yes, that's right. Boop, boop.
Yes.
Our red beans is a light that shines with honor, and it's coming from 1 Peter 3:16. Honor Christ and let him be the Lord of your life. Always be ready to give an answer when someone asks you about your hope.
My God.
Goes a little something like this. This is how we're stewing on these beans today. Lord, I want to bring you honor in the way that I live my life. I will make mistakes because I'm not perfect. But your grace and mercy give me the strength to get up and try again. May every choice and every decision reflect on your goodness. Help me to be of good reputation and high integrity in all that I do each day. Like a flashlight that shows you the way to go when you find yourself walking in a forest after dark. I pray that my life will be a light that guides others in the path you have for them. Let me demonstrate your goodness and your mercy. I desire to be a picture of your faithfulness. It is my heart's desire that others will see my life as something unique and different. May they look into my heart and see the love of God that has been shed abroad in it by the Holy Hand. Help me to not be moved by my emotions, but by the Holy Spirit. When people look at me, I want them to see you. Let my words be loving and gentle, and my actions reflect a sincere heart to serve you in all I do.
My God.
Isn't that funny, Ms. Diane? Because some of this that I just pour out here talks about what we just talked about. So, family and friends, you see how everything coming together on this plate, everything mellowing together. We're telling you to embrace life, and we give you a tip of how to embrace life. Now we're telling you a light that shines with honor and how to bring honor to your life. Now, yes, we are. You, when you live like Christ, like it reflects. When you walk in with God, family or friends, it reflects. You have that glow on you that nobody could take from you. That glow stays with you. People see when you really and truly living for God. People see when you Christ-like. Now, we have some that said that Christ-like, Miss Diane, and ain't no glow, ain't no shine. These have polish. These have got a top coating that shine. But people see it. And it's a good thing,
yeah,
when somebody said, you know what, I want to live like you because you live Christ-like, because you live it for,
right,
God. Ain't nothing better,
yeah,
than that you would like to hear when you truly honor God. But you always have to,
absolutely,
remember, we said it before, whatever darkness you have in your life, God could put a light on it and make it brighter for you.
Oh,
you,
yeah,
just have to be still and be patient. You have to be patient. And this is a problem that people here, we, and I said people because it include me, because ain't nobody was shot patient than me. If I go in a store and the line is too long, I wouldn't stand in the line. But I've learned patience through having kids. Becoming a mom have teach me patience, have helped me to learn to humble myself even more.
Yeah.
I was one of those, when I drive, I have road rage. I would blow my hand, honk you out the way. And it's just not that I'm in a rush. It's just that when I was younger, as I get on the road, I would just have this negative energy,
yeah,
of road rage.
Yeah.
And, you know, you learn things as you get older. Your mind changes when you get closer to God. You know, God changes you, and he starts,
yeah,
from inside out.
Yeah.
So you have to honor. You have to honor and let God demonstrate your goodness and your mercy. Let he give you that picture of your faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart will desire all that's good when you're walking with Christ. You want that holy hand to be laid on you. You want to be holy. Don't wait till you die and God forgive me, you know, forgive me of my sins, and you repent, because we have those too.
Mm-hmm.
Never pray a day in their life, but let it get sick. God, please don't let me die,
yeah,
now. I'll change my life. You know, I'll be better. God, please lay your anointed on me. Give me your
own. Mm-hmm.
But it's true, Miss Diane. We have people,
yeah,
out there like that. They only seek God when it's necessary for them.
For them.
But,
yeah,
God wants us all the time. He calls us to him and power him in different ways. Why not honor him? Why not live in that Holy Spirit? Let the Holy,
amen,
Spirit take over our emotions for the good. Be loving, be gentle, be patient.
Right.
Be sincere. Have a heart ready and always willing to serve God. Miss,
right,
Diane? I'm done preaching. I will let you take it over. Come on, let's finish food on these beans. Yes, yes.
Yes, yes, but that is so very true, because how do we bring glory to God except by our lifestyle? When people see the way we live, and it's like you say, and I want to reiterate this, no one is perfect. No one will ever be perfect. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how other folks put you down or you put other folks down. There is none perfect but God. But the good thing,
yep,
is we can bring glory to God by simply doing our best to do what he have called us to do. Because the flesh, it gets weak. The flesh gets tired. This flesh gets weary. So we're not always going to be 100% at all times in the will of God. If you are 100% at all times in the will of God, you are perfect, and you don't need Jesus. You don't even need to be here on earth because you are perfect. But we need him, and the way people see that there is a God is by the way we honor him with our lives, and in return, he honors us. We are so used to dealing with men here on earth. You do good to some people, they turn their back on you. You do good to some people. When it's time for you to ask them, hey, can you help me with this? They too busy, they too tired. So because we are so used to dealing with people, when we sometimes come to God, we look at God as mere men. And God is not mere men. So it is sometimes a little difficult for us to give God glory with our life because we don't know if he's going to turn around and do the same thing because other people have said words to us and they didn't keep their words. But we have to remember God is faithful. Whatever he say is what he is and is what he will do. So if he tells us when we give him the glory, then in return he will glorify us, then that's what we do. Now, because he glorifies us, that does not make us any better than anybody else. That does not God unto ourselves either. But what God is saying, when you come to me and you do what I tell you to do, even when you mess up, I'm not going to turn my back on you. And for
back
what
you,
I'm going to bless you. You know, it's like we have children and we tell our children, okay, you bring home all A's, this is what you get. And you bring home all F's, this is what you don't get. Guess what? The choice is yours. You can work hard. You have six classes. If you have six classes, you bring home four A's. Mom and dad may say, you know what? You didn't get F, but you got two B's. You know what? We'll still go ahead and bless you. But if you got all F's, you'd get nothing. So what that does, that encourages you. And if you tell somebody else, then it encourages them. So when you hang around people who bring glory to God, you learn, and then you learn to do those things. And in return, just like God blessed the other person, just like he glorifies the other person, he turns around and he does the same thing to us. That's why there should not be any jealousy and envy in us. Because the same God that gives you gives me. The same God that takes care of you takes care of me. That's why when if something good happened to you, I should be happy for you. Because I'm like, if God did that for Shanice, shoot, he's going to do it for me too. Because he tells us there is no respect for persons. Yes, see, in the world we have that. And I hate to say it, in the church we have that. We have the people we treat so nice in church. We lift them up. We do all these things for them. And then there are other people we just pass by like they don't even exist. And God has said, it ought not to be so because I don't turn my back on none of my children. So how can you say you love me when you only gravitate towards the ones that are like you or have what you have? You know what I'm saying? So I thank God for that word because this is a really powerful word. It gives us, you know, a reminder to just kind of, hey, don't look to people. Look to God to get what you need. Look to him. And you know what I'm saying? And when you get it, because he told us, when you get all these things, the good house and the cars and stuff, he said, don't forget who gave it to you. And it's like you said previously, people get their stuff and they forget about God. And when they're on their deathbed, oh, God, heal me. And if you heal me, God, then I'm going to serve you. And the entire time they're on their bed, they're on their back, they serving God. The minute they can get up, get down and boogie, they gone. Where you going?
That's
you coming to church tomorrow?
They forget about who they ask for to heal them. They forget about all these things because now they're well and good. But what they need to remember, what God give you, he can take away as well.
In a snap.
He can take it away.
Yeah.
He can take it away. And they fail to realize and understand that what is given can also be taken away.
Yeah.
Ms. Ann, I'm so sorry. I'm going to let you finish it up.
No. You go ahead. You can go ahead. It's just very true. We just have to be careful and not be demigods, not be gods unto ourselves. We just have to not be jealous, not be envious, not be greedy, you know, because all we have to do, he gave us the recipe. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. When you seek him, you know, you glorify him, and in return, he blesses you. So I don't have to be jealous of your house, your car, your clothes, your nothing, because the same God that gave you, he can give me too.
Oh, yeah. What tickles me, I'm going to use the word tickle. What tickles me is, I have this thing that my belief is we all serve one God.
Yeah.
And some people are like, well, no, my God. We serve one God. If you're serving the Buddha, that's different. That's different because it's a man-made. And the Bible talks about we praise it. Man-made idols. So if you praising a man-made idols, you know that this might rub some people the wrong way. But you know, when you praise a man-made idol, who are you praying to? Who are you praying to?
Nothing.
So, but to me, when we pray to the same God. When we go to our judgment day, we ain't gonna see 15 different gods. We gonna see one. We gonna see one.
So
turn around and look for your Jehovah. Turn around and look for your Buddha, because when you turning around, I gonna be turning around and I gonna ask you, what pa he there? What pa he there? What pa he there? You know, when God sent his only son to earth, he sent one. Buddha didn't send a son. Jehovah didn't send a son. Allah didn't send a son. Because, you know, Selassie I, for those that are Rastafari, he didn't send a son. And then there's a history behind a Selassie I, because, you know, I'm getting off the subject here. You know, we have all these dressers that are saying, hail Selassie I. You're idolizing a man that stole. He stole from the poor the little bit that they had to enrich in himself. So why are you hailing to a thief?
Come on.
That's a whole different show, a whole different topic, but I just wanted to say, family and friends, when judgment day comes, we're going up before one God. We're not going up in front of 15 gods to be judged. Just so when he comes, he's going to come like a thief in the night. Only one God, because if it's five different gods coming, I pray to God that I was one of them shall be risen from the earth and not still alive, because ain't gonna be all hell broke loose. So, family and friends, get to know your history. Read your Bible. I'm in the process of reading my Bible. I'm in the process of learning more. Yeah, I don't know everything, you know, but I'm a kind of person that people would say I'm nosy, because if I don't know, I ask. If I don't know, I research. I learn. And even if I research it, I would probably ask somebody else that might know a little bit more to compare. But if you don't know, there's no shame to ask. The only dumbest thing you could ever do is not asking. It's not asking.
Exactly.
That makes you look stupid. I'm sorry. It makes you look stupid.
Exactly.
Why not walk? Why you walk around with not knowing? You know, knowledge is the key to many things. When you learn, your brain cells open up. That you know, you have that spark, that shock going through, because you're learning something new. This is why kids get so excited when they learn something new, because those spots and those electrons in your brain move around, and those neurons, they move around the electron, and they combine and they throw this spark because they learn something new. If you don't know, now's the time to learn. Hey, look around us. The way the world going, and people say the world coming to an end. The world ain't coming to an end. We as people here are bringing the world to an end. We, the people here on earth, is causing destruction to our own home. We the people is who doing it. We're doing it. So, man, I got to smell the coffee. Yeah. Miss Diane, we find some plantains. We find some plantains.
Boy, this is a real VI lunch. This is a real VI lunch.
Yes, sir, we filling them up today, so by the time they're done, belly full. We're giving y'all a heavy meal today. Yes. So plantains, we'll be cheating on our diet today. So our plantain is laughter, and it's coming from Genesis 21:1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. when we tend to think of Sarah as a juvenile old woman, lifting her newborn son in the air as she giggles in amazement of God's miraculous way of fulfilling all his promises. But Sarah had been through a lot of life by the time she had that beautiful baby boy. How many times have the answer to her prayers not come, or at least not in the way she thought they might? How many times have she been disappointed or confused? Is it really any wonder that she laughed at the idea of bearing a son in her old age? Wouldn't we scoff at the thought ourselves? Perhaps even laugh with a hint of bitterness. But Sarah found out that truly nothing is too hard for the Lord, and he always keeps his promise. Abraham named his son for the first song to fill those tiny, perfectly formed ears was the song of laughter. It was the song of pure joy that comes from being reminded of the powerful love of God. Dear Father of us all, I want to rejoice every day in the wonders you have created for me. Help me to see them. And again, everything we serve in y'all today, it gliding smooth onto the plate. We dripping, we losing nothing, family and friends. Everything packing on this plate. And this is just to show you that God answer all our promises. He gave it to us. But it goes back again. Be careful of what you ask for. If it's a want and it's not a need, why ask for it? That's called greed.
Greediness.
Don't ask for it because we in that moment of needing it now. Okay, right now, I need some money, but I know my mistake why I need the money right now. I'm not going to God and say, God, please give me the money because I messed up.
Right.
I messed up.
Responsibility, right.
I backslide. And a bad habit that I have, I did backslide on it, you know, and it's my mistake. So that's why I wouldn't go to God to ask for this money because he gave it to me and I backslide.
Wow.
Into our old habit. Just for y'all to know, it's not drugs. I did have a gambling habit, and, you know, sometimes I do backslide, and I did backslide. You know, the devil is a liar. That's a battle that I'm fighting. It's a battle that I'm fighting. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard, family and friends. Yes, from time to time, I do go good for a while, and then I do backslide, you know. So I'm telling you guys, I'm not perfect.
Right.
I do sin from time to time, and that's my sin. And it gets times I don't repent on it because I know what I'm doing. I know the wrong. I know the damages it would cause. I acknowledge that. But I said, God, give me the strength. Give me that strength to make it completely go away. Because it's not good. It's not good. It's like a crackhead on crack. It's like a crackhead on crack.
Right. Deliverance is needed.
Yes, I need some deep deliverance because when I
bought
my
I broke for some
days gambling, so you know, but that's just to say, you know, family, nobody's perfect. Yeah. But you know, God gave us what we promise. You know, and one of mine is just to quit with the gambling, to give up because there is things that I want to do for you go those of y'all that don't know I am a minister. And I do sin. I do backslide. I would like to see my husband and I open a church, you know, but I ask God to continue working on me first. Continue,
right.
I cannot go on a pulpit, you know, pulpit
there
and
you go.
Preach to
Come
these people, there. And then, you know, tomorrow night, yeah, I somebody gamble house.
Come on.
My husband explained that to me many times. He said, how you think it look for you to be a minister as a pastor and you out there gambling? And it didn't click because when you feed in that negativity and when that spark in your brain for that addiction lights up, it don't matter what nobody tell you. For you, that's the right thing to do, and this is what you're going to do, and this is how you're going to do it. This is all that's going through your mind. It don't matter. So I'm like, okay, now I understand what a crackhead goes through. Because it's like that scene. You
Come
have
on,
that
man.
Scene.
Come on, man.
But when I don't have no money, I'm good.
See,
I don't have
know.
To go.
They
I
know.
Yes. So, you know, God give us what he promises.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of those promises I'm asking him is to rebuke this part of the devil. The devil's still trying to hold on to me somewhere, somehow. You know, rebuke it.
Mm-hmm.
My husband, you know, I give it to him because he patient, he trying, and I seen that his patience with me and this bad habit, you know. I went good 2 months without, and then I went on, like, 2 days, and then I went and gambled for 2 days, and then I stopped, and then I went for 3 days this month. So, you know, the devil tried to hold on, but you know what? I rebuke him. I rebuke him, and I thank God every day for giving me a husband, because that's something that I asked for before I asked my husband to marry me. You know, give me a husband that have everything I don't have as far as being humble, being patient. You know, and he did. He answered my praise there, you know. And like I said, he gave us what he promised us. You know, so I just hoping that God gave him a little bit more patience to hang in there with me. Because like I said, you know, I could see him getting tired of it, you know. But I'm trying. Like I told him, I'm trying. It's something that would not be overnight. It's a process. It's like putting a clock in a rehab and they go through that withdrawal, you know, and you know, I'm asking God for that, you know. But family and friends, God gave us everything he promised us. There's nothing that we can't ask God for and he doesn't promise to give us. We just have to be patient because he know when the time is right. We might think the time is right now, but it's not. He knows.
Yeah.
He creates us. He knows every step before we make it. He know what we're going to do before we even do it. And he allow us to do it so we can learn from that mistake, so we could have a lesson from that mistake. So, Miss Diane, I'll let you take it over before we go into the last plating on our plate.
But you know what? I have to, before I go, I have to, you know, really commend you for really being open and honest. And I believe when we come out and we say, this is my struggle, I think this gives God the permission to say, okay, God, I need some help, you know. And I think it's great that you let your, what should have been your secret struggle, you let it out, because we don't know who else is listening and what their struggle is, because we all have a struggle one place or the other. See, that's not my thing. The truth of the matter is, when was the last time? I know when the last time I went, but it's been a while. Before I really started kind of getting, you know, myself together, we go to, Choctaw in Oklahoma. And I don't have an addiction to gambling. The thing, I like the little slot machines. I like the ding, 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 ding. I like the sound. that it makes.
The noise.
So I'll sit there and put it, in my little quarter, you know what I'm saying, just listen for those little sounds. But my struggle, I have other areas of struggling. One of the things is, like I tell you, because God brought me out of unforgiveness, one of my struggling is always staying there. So that's one of my prayers. Lord, do not let me go back to that place of unforgiveness. Lord, please, them people that got on my nerves, because sometimes I could be sitting there and something my ex-husband did to me will come up in my head, and next thing you know, I'm thinking of a way of killing homeboy, and I have to check myself. Oh, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. You know what I'm saying? I have to check myself and ask God to quickly forgive me. And when I was like, Lord, please, because if I, as long as you stay on it, then I start to feel angry again. And if I'm feeling angry again, it's just the door the enemy is gently opening to have unforgiveness to step back in. And the Bible tells us when we have been delivered, the Bible tells us that spirit goes out. And he searched, and when he can't find anybody else, he come back to where he was evicted out of, and if he can get back in, he brings seven more spirits worse than him, and the state of that man is worse than what it was. So for me, for God to bring me out of unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and hate and all these things, if I let that stuff come back in me, I truly may go ahead and commit murder, because I truly may think, oh, what you did to me. You know what I'm saying? So you have that no struggle. That for somebody else, it's lying. For somebody else, it's cursing. For somebody else, it's drinking. It's alcohol. It's drugs. For somebody else, it's adultery. It's fornication. It's lust. It's pornography. And that's why we can't point fingers at nobody, because we need
because
it. And then
none of us is perfect.
And none of us is perfect, and we do that. And the good thing is, after God tells us he can and will deliver us out of it. And even after Sarah was, 99 years old before she gave birth? And can you imagine 25, 30, 40, 50, 60? Be like, Lord, my clock is ticking. 70 clock is still ticking. By 80, your clock is gone. By 90, oh, God. They ain't had no Viagra back in the days. How are you going to do that for Abraham? You know what I'm saying? And after a while, God gave Abraham's body the strength. And next thing you know, they have a son. They named him Laughter, because sometimes God will take us through things. Sometimes God will get us dirty. You know, sometimes God will cause, God will drag us. Sometimes he will take us through the ringer. But it's not to harm us. It's to bring us to a place where we can laugh. Because when we get to that place, that's when he gives us joy. And that's when our peace comes in. That's when we learn to say, God, you know what? All what you brought me through, I sure do thank you. Because when I look back on my life and I was like, Lord, with this visual issue, after I left that controlling, manipulative husband of mine, I'll be out in the club every Saturday dropping it and try to get it back to church on Sunday, repenting and begging God for forgiveness. So sometimes God gotta really just knock us out. And we think sometimes it's the devil, and sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes God has to knock us out so when the devil swings, he can't even find us because we're already laid out. You know what I'm saying? So in all things, we give God praise. And in all things, when it's all said and done, now we can look back and I can laugh and say, God, I sure do thank you. Because I'm going to be 49 years old. Ain't nothing more sad than seeing a 40, 50-year-old woman in a club trying to drop it like it's hot. Ain't nothing worse than trying to be something that you're not, trying to go back and live those days. And then I say to God, I say, me, meet some guy, have a one-night stand, next thing you know, HIV positive, or meet some guy and go out for a week and say, well, I'm not going to give in for 30 days, and give in 30 days, and it's herpes, and you know what I'm saying? So when he not stay your butt at home. So now I can look back and I can say, God, I thank you, because when I get my checkup, everything is clean. God, I thank you. Nobody has my name in the street. God, I thank you. I'm not in the prison cell because I done committed a 187. You know what I'm saying? So we have to look back. And the Lord will show us, I took you through all this, and now this is your time of laughter. So you go ahead, you laugh, you enjoy life.
Oh,
the
yeah.
life that I gave
oh, yeah.
you, you chose it, enjoy life.
And you know, scientifically, it was proven. I read a lot. I do a lot of research. You know, I haven't done none really lately, but, like, in my past, like, growing up, I was always the one, Mommy, can I go outside? No, no, no. So I always was stuck in books reading, and I like math and science, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't like history at all, but I can throw some stuff out there about history. But science, and, you know, it was scientifically proven that laughter is good for the health.
Mm-hmm.
It is good for the health. You know,
the
there's
Bible
a lot of things, and when you...
Good.
Yeah, and when you laugh and smile, you know, and when you smile more, and what a lot of people don't know is, like, when you smile more, do you know you reduce wrinkles in your face?
Well, praise the Lord.
But
I'm going to smile all day today.
Yes. yes. but laughter and smile is real good for your health. It's good for your body. It's good for your appearance. The Bible says laughter is good. He even gives them a child that they name laughter. This will show you how good, don't matter what you go through in life, to the end of the day, and when God is done blessing you, he has fulfilled you and formed you and transformed you.
Oh, yeah.
That to the end of the day, you could sit down and you could laugh. This
mm-hmm.
is what it's all about. You could laugh. I said, what? You know, you could sit down and laugh now about you being in the clubs and stuff like that. My day would come when I could sit down and kick back and laugh of how I used to gamble and I'm not doing it anymore. And then I said, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you, Jesus.
And then you can tell somebody your testimony.
Oh, yeah. I share
yes.
piece of me on each show that I do. And, you know, there's nothing about me that I hide. I speak about my marriage, which we do that on a love portion. We speak a lot about ourselves, our marriage, as, you know, we as individuals and stuff like that. But there's nothing that I have to hide. There's
yeah.
nothing. What you see, I tell people, what you see and what you hear from me is what you get, because there's nothing to hide.
Okay.
There's nothing
yeah.
to hide. I'm not here to hide anything. You know, a lot of people don't understand either. Sometimes the past do come back and haunt you, and that's the
it's devil's
devil. Work. So I'm giving the devil no opportunity to come back. You know, when you go, like when you smile and you have kids and one do something and the other one will sing like a canary bird?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'm not a canary bird. I'm going to sing on myself. I gonna sing, so ain't nobody gonna tell me Shani's this, Shani's that, or niece this, niece that, because guess what? I can't carry a harmony
me.
For
yep.
anything, but I gonna
yep.
sing.
Yeah.
So nobody got, and you know, sometimes if we're like that more in life, just be honest and just be truthful. A lot of things in our
yeah.
life would be easier too, and it goes back to laughing, because sometimes when you let it go, you can laugh about it and you release yourself. You release
mm-hmm.
yourself. You don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah,
Diane, we going to
endorphins. Hmm?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm listening to you.
It releases endorphins. And for people like you and I who have suffered from depression, honey, when you get you a good laugh and your sides begin to hurt and you got to run to the bathroom, after you do that a few times.
Yep. Or you laugh so much till you start crying.
Yes.
Because I'm
yes.
like, yes.
After you,
yes.
Yeah, after you have a good laugh, and sometimes you laugh to the point where you cry, you can't breathe,
mm-hmm.
all that, it just releases
oh, yeah.
endorphin. And the more you do that, the more you feel better. That's why I always like watching some comedy throughout the day, whether it's like Good Times or Living Single or something, because I always want to look at something that'll make me laugh. Because when
laugh.
You laugh, it just takes the stress away. It just relaxes you, remove, you know what I'm saying? That's why so many people walking around, they look like they're constipated, but all they need is just a good laugh.
Yep.
That's it. If they can just get a good laugh, their whole body will change.
But you have some of those that are really hardcore, you know, like I've met people, I'm like, try to talk to them, you know, and they're so hardcore that you can't even get them to laugh. Like, they're so screw faced. It's like, wow, like, who chopped you today? You know, who got you looking this way? Like, you just have to, like, wow, really? This ain't how you was born. What? And sometimes it could be that they just need somebody to talk to. They just need somebody in their life, you know, to talk to. It could be the simplest of things, you know. So, I mean, family and friends, life too short to have any animosity, to hold grudges, to be jealous. The energy and the time that you take to do all these things and be jealous and hold animosity, you're taking time away from yourself. That's all you're doing. You're taking time away from you and who you is or who you're supposed to be as a person. Give it to God. Leave it. Smile. Laugh. Man, laugh till you pee yourself. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Yes,
man,
yes,
we have all done that some point in life where we laugh so much that, like you said, our ties get there and we got to run to the bathroom because we got to pee. We got to pee.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Family and friends, one life to live. Live it to the best of your ability. Enjoy it while you're here. You know, just be grateful for what you have.
Yes. Hang around people that will make you laugh. Remove yourself from all these sourpuss and these bitter people. Get you some. Yeah, that'll make you, if you just have that one person, I say, man, I need a good laugh. Let me call this person. For you to just laugh, you know what I'm saying? And then whatever else you need, move on and do whatever. But you cannot be all the time serious, serious, serious. You're going to lose your mind.
Stuck up. Stuck up.
You're going to lose
for
your
no
mind.
Reason.
Because when I laugh, honey, I cackle. I like going to the comedy club, and some holy people might not want to go. You know, some of my favorite comedians, when they come to town, I want to go because, you know what I'm saying? You go, you laugh, you walk out there, you feel 10 pounds lighter because you've done released some stress and you know what I'm saying, and some stuff.
So, Miss Diane, we're going to do the last one. We put in this barbecue chicken on the plate. Oh, yes. We're serving the barbecue chicken. We're doing thighs because I want a big piece. So, we're doing no wings. We're doing chicken thighs, barbecue chicken thighs. And this is, yes, I like to eat. So, this is. Expect a turnaround, family and friends, and it's coming from Genesis 50:20. As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are they. This verse, family and friends, this verse is a part of a story of how God promoted Joseph to a place of power after his brothers sold him into slavery. It's a great testament God deserved and the ability to overcome evil with good. Joseph's brothers meant to destroy him, but Joseph becomes second in command to Pharaoh and was used by God to not save only his family, but many thousands of others. Sometimes we forget how big God is.
Yeah.
We forget. We totally forget how big God is. Whatever may have happened to you in the past, you must understand it doesn't have to dictate your future. It doesn't have to dictate your future. Set your faith and trust in God and watch to see how he will turn it around for good. Rejoice. God has a plan for your life. So God has a plan for all our life. You know, we're not here, and this is where we talk about purpose and finding your purpose of life, finding where your purpose lies in life. Because, you know, God just didn't place us here because he could do that. You know, we all have a purpose in life. You know, I mean, this soul, they brought her like a dog into slavery. And look at that. It turned around where he only didn't save his family, but he saved thousands of others.
Yes.
He saved a whole lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So it don't matter what you're going through in life. Always expect that turnaround, family and friends. Expect a great turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
Your past is your past. Leave it behind. I mean, like, Miss Diana, myself, we had some, we crumbled based on our past. But that did not dictate who we is today.
Right.
It did not. We could have been better people. We could have been sour. At one time, yes, one of my ex said, man, your heart cold as ice. Because I was cold. I didn't have no love for nobody if it wasn't about me. I didn't care about nothing and nobody if it's not about me. I lived a life and I had to change. Because it did not take me nowhere. It just drove me in a deeper place. So don't matter what you go through in life, look for the good and always expect a turnaround because God got you. God got you. He could take you out of that rut and make it something more and something bigger. Make you something bigger that you could help other people. You could bless other people.
Yeah.
Miss Diane, I'm going to let you take it over. So before we finish it up today, Miss Diane. So go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This, I always like this scripture, the story about Joseph and his brothers, because when I look at Joseph, I see so much of me and my family. I would have never thought family can be your worst enemy, because I never looked at any of my siblings from any other perspective than with love. I never looked at my siblings as, you know, me being jealous of them, me being hateful towards them, or having any kind of malice in my heart towards them. And I always equate that to people outside of the family. But sometimes your family can be your worst enemy. Sometimes you will find strangers that will take care of you better than your own family will. His family, his brothers, they didn't like him for one simple reason, and that's the same reason my siblings don't like me, because we just happened to be daddy's favorite. That was it. It's no big deal. And I came to find out, it's not that per se I was like my daddy's favorite. We just had a different connection, because my daddy lost his mom at a young age, and I look so much like his mother. So when he look at me, he doesn't just see his daughter. He saw also his mother. So because of that, that just caused him to just cling to me, you know what I'm saying, a little tighter. And because of that, I have family members. If my own mother, she has an attitude and stuff like that with me because of the way I feel about my father. And in everything they did to Joseph said, look at this. You sold me out. Y'all took my clothes, the robe that daddy gave to me. Y'all took that. Y'all killed an animal. Y'all soaked it in that animal's blood, and y'all took it. And y'all told our father that I died and I wasn't dead. And I went through hell. I went to prison for something I didn't do. They just bought me and threw me in hell. And then when I got to jail, they went ahead, and the people I helped when it came for their turn to help me, they turned their backs on me. And then when it came time for me, you wanted me to help you again. And that's how life is. We help people. People dislike us for no reason, but simply because of the anointing that God has sat upon us. See, sometimes we don't know what we have in us, but other people can see what we have in us. What they don't realize, as they were trying to kill Joseph, they was pushing him into his destiny. They was pushing him into his purpose. Now, had they known this would have happened to Joseph, when Joseph told them they dreamed, they would have said, we ain't never going to let you get to that throne. But because of the jealousy that they had towards their own brother, because of the envy that they had towards their own brother, God used that to help to cause them to usher Joseph into a place where Joseph became second in command in Egypt. To think you come out of jail and you go up to be vice president of the United States, that is nobody but God. And in all that, it goes back to, I think, the second scripture. In all that, it goes back to he forgave them. He loved them.
Okay.
And because of him, they get to live a good life. They didn't even realize what happened. In them destroying him, God used him to give them a good life. God went ahead and chose that it would be Joseph, and they never starved. They was never in need or lack of anything else. And sometimes people hate you, and they don't realize they will use that same you they hate. God will cause them to come right back to you. So my advice to everybody listening, don't hate. Just go ahead and let God have his perfect way in you, because the person you hate on, the person you don't like, the person you're trying to tear down, the person that you're trying
sometimes
to
sometimes
totally
is the same
destroy,
person that would come back and help you.
Yes. Yes, because when my mother told me, my mother said to me, when she dies, if myself or another sister comes to her funeral, my mother says she will open her eyes, she will grumble, and she will turn her back on me. Well, my mother said that, that's when I really realized how demonic and evil my mother was. And then she made it plain to my son's father, and she said to me, she said to him, at my funeral, my two younger sisters are waiting to see if I come to her funeral and if I come for them to embarrass me at her funeral. And I'm like, how evil is your heart for you to look forward to your death and your funeral and to just think at your funeral, I'm going to be embarrassed. So the last thing my mother wants me to experience with her, her last day on this side of the earth, is pain. But I'm like, what you asking now, mother, you fail to realize that. That same Diane you don't like, you want to see fall, them same sisters, I can pretty much guarantee I'm not going to run after them. But there is a very high probability, because of the way God worked it out for Joseph, that how it's going to work out in my life. So if you out there and you feel that way about any of your family, this is the time to go and repent and make it right. Because I'm telling you, God will elevate the one that you think that should not be elevated. God will bless the one you think that should not be blessed. The one you think that should not be married and have children and have the money and have the car and the education and everything. That very one you think will not have it is the very one God is going to use
that will
to give
have
them
it.
Everything
yep.
you want. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well, family and friends, thank you guys for tuning in so today to the grub. We serve you a Caribbean dish today. We serve you a heavy meal today. So I hope you guys enjoy it. We did go into overtime today. but you can catch us next week, Monday, as we bring you another delicious menu. What's on the menu? We don't know yet, but you'll find out on that day. So Thank you guys so much again for tuning into TPV Radio Network with myself, Niece, and my co-host, Ms. Diane. You know, we had a great time today as usual. You guys can tune in tonight for the Williams Review at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then you can tune back in to me tomorrow on the Caribbean Pepper Pot at 8 p.m. Central. Yeah. And you guys could look for that recipe of the week tonight on the Love Potion page. If you're not following the page, please do. If you're not following TPV Radio Network page, please do on Facebook. Just hit that like button. We will appreciate it. So once again, family, thank you guys so much. Stay blessed and stay tuned for our other episode next week, Monday. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, everybody.